Welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today we're looking at something pretty interesting, something you might not expect. We're talking about how managing people and managing AI, you know, artificial intelligence, well, turns out they might have more in common than you think.
A lot more, yeah.
I mean, at least that's what this excerpt you sent us from this article, Self-Reflective Leadership Principles in Managing Digital Capital, seems to be saying.
Right, by Chris Tansey.
It's Chris Tansey, yep. So we're going to do a deep dive into this whole idea today, and I think it all kind of boils down to this concept of self-reflective leadership, which I'll admit I wasn't super familiar with before.
Yeah, and it's not something that comes up a lot in the AI world. You know,
yeah.
Usually it's all about the algorithms and the data and all that.
Yeah, and for me, at least, I'll be honest, when AI is not giving me what I want, I tend to, you know, just blame the AI.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, come on, AI, step it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty common reaction. But this article, it really challenges us to think differently.
Yeah.
It's like, what if the problem isn't the AI itself? What if it's us? What if it's how we're interacting with it?
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how does self-reflective leadership, I mean, how does that even apply to AI?
Well, the article breaks it down into five key principles. And I think before we even get into those, the most important thing to understand is that we have a relationship with AI, just like we do with people, you know, on our teams, our colleagues. And like any relationship, you've got to put in effort to make it work well.
I like that. So it's not just about barking orders at the AI and expecting it to magically know what we want.
Exactly. It's about, well, for one thing, it's about understanding its capabilities and limitations, just like we do with people.
So we need to know its strengths, what it's good at, and also what it's, you know, not so good at.
Yeah, precisely. Okay, so let's jump into those five principles. The first one is something the article calls responsibility in communication. It's really easy to get frustrated with AI when it spits out something totally off base, something totally wrong. But often, it's because we're not giving it clear instructions.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, think about it this way. If you tell an employee, hey, write a brief summary, they're going to have a ton of questions.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. Like a summary of what and how brief is brief and who am I writing this for? All those things.
Exactly. We just naturally provide that context when we're talking to people.
Mm.
But with AI, sometimes we forget. And the article actually gave a great example. Instead of saying, write a brief summary, you could say something like, summarize this 2,000-word report into a 100-word abstract for potential investors.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's way more specific. And it leaves no room for, like, misinterpretation.
Right. It's like giving the AI a detailed roadmap instead of just pointing vaguely in the right direction.
Much better. Yeah. Okay, this is already making me rethink how I approach AI. So what's the next principle?
Number two is understanding capabilities and limitations. You know, just like with people, every AI has its strengths and weaknesses. You wouldn't ask your graphic designer to, like, analyze financial data.
Right.
So same thing with AI. You shouldn't expect an AI that's really good at, I don't know, writing poetry to suddenly become a master coder.
Yeah, makes sense.
So before you even start, you know, assigning a task to AI, you got to ask yourself, is this the right tool for the job? You know, some AI is great at crunching numbers. Others are really good at summarizing information. So really creative. You got to pick the right AI for what you're trying to do.
Okay, so it's about playing to its strengths. This is reminding me a lot of, like, managing a team, knowing who to delegate to, you know, based on their skill set.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the third principle, iterative improvement. This is the idea that, you know, let's say an employee submits a project and it's not quite right, it misses the mark.
Happens all the time.
Right. You wouldn't necessarily fire them on the spot. Instead, you'd give feedback, offer guidance, work together to improve the next draft, the next version.
And try to figure out why it wasn't right in the first place. Maybe the instructions weren't clear, or maybe they need some more training, whatever.
Exactly. And the same thing applies to AI. If the output isn't quite right, you know, it's not perfect, don't just give up. Think of it as like a, almost like a mini performance review for the AI. Analyze the results, see what went wrong, and then tweak your approach, just like you would with a person.
Oh, I love that. So instead of throwing my hands up and saying, ugh, this AI is useless, I need to ask myself, what can I do differently to get a better result?
Exactly. That's that self-reflective leadership mindset in action.
I'm liking this. This is really eye-opening. So we've got two more principles to unpack, but I think we're going to have to save those for the next part of our deep dive.
Yeah, we'll pick it up right where we left off. We'll be talking about building trust with AI and making sure we're using it ethically, all that good stuff.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
Okay, so before the break, we were talking about how, refining our approach with AI, almost like giving it those mini performance reviews. I'm like,
It
well, that's actually a game changer.
really can be.
I'm realizing I take those things for granted when working with people, giving clear instructions, thinking about everyone's individual strengths and all that.
So true.
But yeah, it seems like that stuff is even more important when you're dealing with AI.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads right into the fourth principle, building trust.
Building trust with AI. I gotta be honest, that one's kind of throwing me for a loop.
Yeah, it's not something we usually think about, is it?
No, I mean, I'm usually just focused on getting the AI to, do what I need it to do.
Right, just get the job done. But think about how trust works with people, in our relationships.
Yeah.
A big part of it is consistency, right? Knowing that someone will follow through, do what they say they'll do. Like with your team, if they can't count on you for clear directions, timely feedback, all that, they're not going to trust your leadership.
That's true. I never thought about it quite like that.
And it's the same with AI, believe it or not. If you're consistent with your prompts, if you're giving it the right context, if you're giving it good feedback.
It's like the AI becomes more reliable. So the more I trust the AI, the more the AI can actually be
Yeah,
trusted.
you're getting it. It's like that two-way street.
That's wild. It's almost like, well, the article compared it to like micromanaging a new employee versus
Yeah.
giving more autonomy to someone who's, been around for a while. The more you see the AI delivering quality work, the more you trust it, and then you're willing to give it more challenging tasks.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm really digging this. What's the fifth principle? The last one.
This one is cultivating ethical oversight.
Ooh, wow. Now we're getting serious.
Well, it is important,
Why?
especially as AI becomes more and more, integrated into all these different areas of our lives, decision making, all kinds of stuff.
Right, yeah, it's everywhere now.
It's everywhere. And this principle is all about remembering that, AI isn't this like magical, unbiased entity.
I mean, it kind of feels that way sometimes, right?
It does. But the truth is, AI learns from data. And data can reflect all sorts of biases, biases that exist out there in the real world.
So even though it seems totally objective, like, oh, I'm just a computer just doing calculations, it could actually be perpetuating these biases without us even realizing it.
That's exactly right. And it can be tough to spot. Like, imagine, for example, an AI that's trained on hiring data, but the data comes from a company that has, a history of gender discrimination. Even subtly, that AI might then start to favor male candidates in its recommendations.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a really good example.
Yeah, so it's about staying vigilant. We can't just blindly accept the AI's output as, the gospel truth. We have to
Yeah.
question it. Look for those biases. Think about alternative perspectives. It's almost like being like a journalist, fact-checking a source.
Oh, I like that.
And if we do find those biases, we can't just ignore them. We have to be proactive. Maybe we need to retrain the AI in a more diverse data set or, adjust our prompts to counteract those biases.
This is really making me think. I mean, it all goes back to that responsibility thing we talked about earlier, right? Like, it's on us to make sure that AI is being used ethically. We can't just blame the technology if things go wrong.
That's exactly it. We're the ones steering the ship.
This has been so eye-opening. Okay, so on top of those five principles, did the article also give any like practical tips for getting better results from AI?
You did. Want to hear them?
Lay it on me.
Okay, so the first one is pretty simple, actually. Start with a clear intent.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Before you even open up your AI tool, take a moment to think about what you're trying to achieve.
So instead of just diving in, I should be clear about my goals.
Exactly. Are you looking for a concise summary, a creative brainstorm? Do you need help analyzing data? Your approach is going to be different depending on what you're trying to do.
So clear intent, clear prompt, hopefully better results.
That's the idea. Okay, tip number two is to provide context.
Context.
This is like briefing your team, before a big project. Don't assume the AI knows what you're thinking. Tell it, who the intended audience is, what format you need the output in, any relevant background information. It needs that context.
Don't assume the AI knows anything, right?
Exactly. Treat it like a brilliant but clueless intern who needs all the details spelled out.
Love it.
All right, tip number three, and this one's important, is to iterate, iterate, iterate. Don't expect to get a perfect output on the first try. It takes some back and
This
forth.
is where those mini performance reviews come in,
You
right?
got it.
Yeah.
Analyze the AI's response, figure out what worked, what didn't work, tweak your prompt accordingly. Keep refining until you get what you need.
Don't just settle for good enough.
Nope, keep pushing. Think of it as a dance, you and the AI. learning each other's steps as you go.
Okay, two more tips to go. This is great stuff.
We'll save those for our final part of the deep dive, but trust me, they're good ones.
This has already changed how I think about AI. Can't wait to hear what else you've got.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into self-reflective leadership and AI. I'm really excited to hear those last two tips.
All right, you ready?
Hit me.
Okay, so tip number four, it actually kind of echoes one of the principles we talked about earlier. It's to be mindful of limitations.
Yeah. Every AI tool has its, you know, strengths and weaknesses, just like people.
Right. So, you know, before you even start working on those prompts, do a little research.
Okay.
What is this specific AI good at? What are some of his common pitfalls? You know, what does it struggle with?
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I've definitely had times where I'm trying to force an AI to do something it's just not designed for. And then I'm like, why am I getting such weird results?
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
But if you do a little research up front, it can save you a lot of headaches later on.
Absolutely. Okay, what about that last tip? Tip number five.
This one is all about ethical oversight.
This one's been coming up a lot. It feels really important, but I'm still not 100% sure I understand what it means, you know, practically.
Okay, so it basically boils down to this. AI, it isn't inherently neutral. It learns from data.
Right.
And that data can have all sorts of human biases baked in, you know, even if we don't realize it.
So even though it seems like, oh, it's just a computer, just numbers and algorithms, it could actually be giving us biased results.
Precisely. And sometimes it can be hard to catch. Like, let's say you have an AI that's been trained to, I don't know, screen job applicants. Yeah. But the data it learned from, you know, maybe it came from a company that didn't have the best track record when it came to diversity.
Okay.
So that AI, even without meaning to, might start to favor certain candidates over others, you know?
Wow, yeah, that's a bit unsettling.
It is something to be mindful of.
Yeah.
And that's where ethical oversight comes in. It means we can't just take the AI's output at face value.
We have to be the final check, the ones who are ultimately responsible.
Exactly. So, you know, anytime you're using AI, and especially if the results could have, you know, big consequences, you got to ask yourself some questions. Does this seem right? Are there other viewpoints I'm not considering? You know, it's like being a good editor, making sure everything is accurate and fair before it gets published.
I like that analogy.
And if you do spot biases, you got to do something about it.
Mm.
You might need to retrain the AI, or you might need to change your prompts. You know, there are different approaches.
Wow. This whole conversation has been such a mind shift for me. I used to think of AI as like a one-way street. I put in my request and it gives me an answer. That's it.
But it's so much more complex than that, right?
Yeah. I mean, this whole idea of self-reflective leadership, applying those same management skills that we use with people, it's like we're having to redefine what it means to be a good leader in this day and age.
And it makes you wonder, what if by treating AI with this level of care and attention, what if that actually helps us build a better relationship with technology as a whole, you know?
Instead of AI taking over the world, which is, you know, what we always see in the movies, what if we could actually find a way to work together?
Right. Each side playing to its strengths, complementing each other.
AI helping us solve tough problems, make better decisions, maybe even become more creative ourselves, you know?
No, that's a future I think we can all get behind.
It is pretty exciting. But like we said before, it all starts with us.
Right. It starts with us.
Being willing to step up and, you know, take on that leadership role, not just for our human teams, but for these increasingly sophisticated machines that we're creating.
Exactly. So for our listener, if they've been with us this whole time, you know, what's the one thing we want them to take away from this deep dive?
That's a good question.
I'd say it's this. Next time you're using AI, whether it's something simple like a chatbot or something more powerful, you know, for work or whatever, just take a second and ask yourself, am I being a good leader right now?
Am I being clear? Am I considering the limitations? Am I, you know, treating this AI with the same respect that I'd give to a human teammate?
Because honestly, if we can do that, the results could be amazing.
Not just in terms of what the AI can do, but also just, you know, the whole experience of working with it.
And maybe, just maybe, that's how we start to build that more harmonious future that we're all hoping for.
That's a really great note to end on. Really makes you think.
It does. So with that, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
And remember, folks, even in the age of AI, leadership still matters. See you next time.